on your promise that, Lord God, you've already won the battle for us, God. We stand in a position of victory, God, and that is how we fight our battles, Father. And we're just so thankful for that knowledge, God, for that foundation that we stand so strongly on, Father. And we just thank you so much for what you're doing here tonight, God. You've gathered together your people, God, and we're here to worship you, Father, to lift up your name, God, to bring glory to you. And we're just so thankful for this opportunity, Father. I want to thank you so much for our worship team, God. You've blessed us so much with such an amazing team, God, and for their talent, Father. And we pray over this service, God. We pray, Father, that the word is going to be given, Father, that it will penetrate deep into our hearts, God, and that we're able to take it, Lord God, apply it to our lives, Father, and move forward knowing what you've given us and how much you want to use us in your kingdom, God. We just worship you tonight, God. We worship you. We love you, God. We thank you for loving us so much, God, for sending your only son. God, we thank you so much. We worship and praise you, Lord God. In your name we pray. Amen. Yeah. Right now. All right, everyone. It's so good to see everyone. Sprout is heading out. All right. Thank you. I'll take her. All right. One announcement we have is one of our awesome members of Elevate. Her name is Anita. She's right over there. If you could shoot your hand up, everyone take a look. Our friend, our dear friend and helper, Anita, she is headed to Bible school in Great Commission. That's in Portland. She's heading out a week from today, right? So if God places it on your heart to support her with your prayers and financially, we do have our basket here that you can give if you so desire. And know that, and online as well. And she's got a GoFundMe. So, go out there, support her financially with your prayers especially. And like I said, if it's on your heart, do it. And God is going to reward you dearly in that. And what do? We do testimonies. So we had our new year happen. I know we have to have testimonies. There's no way you guys didn't have something awesome happen that God did in your life this coming new year. So I'll be waiting for quite a few of you to come up and share today. Starting with Mark.
I actually forgot to talk about this, but in the winter time, my last semester, got saved from an accident, so it was really nice. I mean, I wouldn't have got injured, but like, why pay, go through all that process, and you know. But it was really nice. There's this old dude in like a small Fiat. It was about like this big. And you know, I'm heading to school, and you're going like 60, and you got to stop in like 20 feet. And then there's a guy behind me. I'm kind of like looking behind him, but he's like, he's moving up really close to me, but he's stopping. I see him, and he's looking in his mirror. And then I just hear, bam! And the guy, old guy, he's mad smart. You know, old people are really good drivers, but like, he swerves so quick, he misses my car by like a centimeter. The salt wasn't even off my car. It was just clean or dirty. But so that was really cool.
Yeah, that's God just protecting Mark there. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing, Mark. Anyone else? Bogdan, thank you. Excited to hear.
Giving you a little break, Ben. So, a little bit of a story. I was Craigslist shopping, and I come across this Kia, right? And I'm like, oh, you know, they're, you know, decent price. Maybe make a little profit on it, whatever, you know. So I hit him up. I'm a little out of breath. Sorry, I just ran upstairs. I hit him up, and it worked out, and then it didn't. They needed to wait a month or whatever, so I was like, yeah, whatever. And then all of a sudden, you know, month later, pops into my head this Kia, right? You know, so I text him. I'm like, is it still available? And I'm like, listen, God, you know, if you want me to buy this Kia, you know, let me throw down this price of $4,000. If they say yes, I'll buy it, you know, lowball them. And so they accepted. So I ended up buying this Kia, whatever, it worked out really good, really smooth, really smooth. Clean title too, you know, so that was a change. So one day I have this Kia, it's all registered, everything. I'm just waiting for the title, flip it, you know, easy flip. And then I'm driving to Syracuse, I make it there fine. You know, we've been driving this car for a little bit, you know, enjoying the clean. And then I'm making my way back home to Utica on the thruway. And everything's going good, right? You know, 75 cruise control. And then all of a sudden, check engine light pops on. This is a clean title, mind you. And check engine comes on, and it's not just staying on, it's blinking. You know, check engine comes on, and it stays on. That's no problem, you know. But when it starts blinking, you know, pull over. The engine's about to blow up, all right? So, well, I had to pull over because there was no gas behind my pedal. There was no gas to the pedal. So I pull over. And to be honest, I didn't even check the oil on this thing before I bought it. So I checked the oil. It's all good. I try starting it again, you know. I hear a little bit of a clink, and I'm like, maybe I can make it home, you know. And I start going 65, maybe. That's as fast as it's going. And all of a sudden, there's absolutely no gas behind the pedal. So I pull over again. And I start it again. It shuts off. I start it again, and it just stalls right out. So I'm like, huh, you know, it's basically kaput, you know. So you know, I'm a YouTube mechanic, so I get on YouTube, you know, Kia Optima, you know what I'm saying. Start searching. I don't know, I'm thinking it's something with the fuel or something. So I call up my pops, you know, bring the OBD, you know. I'm about to fix this thing right on the thruway, you know. So he brings the OBD computer. I connect it, some kind of serious code. I don't even want to mess with it, you know. I got to call a tow, right? First time calling the tow on the thruway. I call the tow truck. He says it's $70 for him just to get there and then $4 per mile. So I'm thinking, should I just leave this Kia on the side of the road and forget about it? I probably need a new engine, you know, this thing is shot. So I was sweating a little bit, and I got it towed. And while I'm following this tow truck, I'm just Googling random things. And, you know, God's grace, I come upon this website, you know, and it's talking about some kind of recall with this Kia Optima. And I look up my VIN number, and I don't see any recalls under my car. So then, you know, I get him on the phone, and turns out what I have is a very common issue, and they're going to replace my entire engine for free and pay for my tow truck. God is good. God is good. And pay for my rental.
Oh.
God is good. Yeah. So it's not all about the money. I'm not trying to make it all about the money, but just pray about every decision you make, because if God puts his hand on it, no one can shake it. All right. Okay, amen.
I guess low-balling is from God. All right, I have something to share. We just came back from a conference. Some of us went there, and it was really awesome. It really broke my walls of the way I viewed worship. And instead of, you know, worship doesn't start at 10:30 or it doesn't start at 7. You can worship God anytime in your life, and we're just constantly, walls don't make a church, you know, so you can spend time with God anywhere. You don't need a church, you don't need, you know, a specific time to worship God. You can spend time with him every day, and if you're not walking in the fullness of what God has for you. And I want to encourage you guys that you don't need a vacation from being a Christian, right? How many of you feel like you need a vacation from being a Christian? You're probably not doing it right. Because you never need a vacation from God. He's awesome. He's awesome to spend time with. And if you understand him, you get to know him, and you get to grow in him, you'll really realize how awesome it is to walk in constant communion with Christ. So I want to encourage you guys for that. And if anyone else.
At least one other person. One more.
Who has one?
Oh, that's awesome. There you go.
Thank you. So, I don't know you guys. I know you. my name is Josh. I've been church hopping.
Man, this country is built on people like that, you know, that sacrifice so much to go in the military, to risk their lives. So America is what it is because of that. All right. Tonight, we're going to be speaking on, well, the title is Check Your Soil. There we go. I actually like that background because first Max was a little sketched out. But I like the tree he put in there. It'll have something to do with what I'm going to share. And storytelling. That's one thing that Jesus did really well in the Bible. Jesus asked a lot of questions, and he told a lot of stories. And these stories, they were called the parables. So we're going to start with a parable out of Luke 8, starting at verse 3. And if you notice, just reading through the Bible, reading through the New Testament, the parables that Jesus gives, they're so awesome. He did such a good job at like connecting people, right? He used references that they still apply to us, even though like this one parable is going to be really focused on farming, on you know, planting seed. None of us are really farmers, but we understand the concept. But back then, in the time of Israel, everyone was farming on some level. So God was through Jesus was really connecting to people through these stories. So when Jesus said that, you know, this and this happened, everybody in the crowd, they were like, okay, I can relate to that because, you know, I am somehow involved in that. So let's keep that in mind as we begin to read. We're going to begin with verse 4, actually. Go to verse 4 for me, Max. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A father went out to sow his seed, and as he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled, and birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because there was no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and it with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than what was sown. When he said this, he called out, whoever has ears hear, let them hear. So what we're going to talk about today is three things. We're going to talk about the seed, we're going to talk about the soil, and we're going to talk about the growth that is going to come from when the two come together. All right, starting with the seed. All right, something I just want, I've been thinking about myself is it's a new year. You know, we all ushered into this new year, 2019. And I'm excited because this year I know that God has a lot planned for not only us individually, but also as a youth. But when it comes to individually, I know that God personally wants to meet you this year and plant something new in you this year through his word, through community, through being in church, through ministry, whatever it is, God is trying to plant something new in you this year. And this seed, the seed that we're going to talk about right now, the seed that is represented in the parable is talking about the word of God. Within this word are the full mysteries of the kingdom of God. One thing I like about seeds, they're amazing. Seeds are so tiny. I don't know if any of you have seen a redwood tree. Who knows what a redwood tree is? They got these huge, gigantic trees, and they're mostly in California now. But they build roads through them. That's how wide some of them are. But I looked up what a seed looks like for this redwood tree, and the seed is so tiny. It's not like a mustard seed. It's a little bit bigger. But just to imagine that this tiny seed at one point made it on the ground, right? got into the soil, and now it's this gigantic tree that they build roads through. So let's keep that in mind as we keep moving forward. This seed that God is trying to plant in each of your life, whatever he's trying to do this year, the seed he's trying to address something or mature you in a specific area, and also cultivate a relationship with you through the word, which is the seed. But in order for this seed to take root, to take ground and actually grow, we have to look at the kind of soil it's going to fall on. So now we're going to move into the soil. There were four kinds of soil that were thrown, that seeds were thrown into when the father was going along and throwing seeds around. The first soil was the path. It wasn't even really a soil. Just think of it as a road, like some off-road somewhere in the country. So the father's going along. He's throwing seeds everywhere. And the first set of seeds that fall on this on the soil, they're trampled on. And the birds eat it up. The trampling represents people or people's opinions whose heart is against the word. So this is one type of person, a person's heart. So when we look at the soil, that represents a person's heart or a person's mind. What are they able to receive through the seed? So if something's thrown on the path that's going to have its seed trampled on, or the birds are going to eat it up, this is a person whose heart is against the word of God, who are living in full rebellion against what God has for them. This is someone who knows the truth, but willingly goes against it, or never puts it into practice. And in a lot of places, this is also could be a religious mindset. There's a lot of people who walk in religious mindsets that when God gives something a newer level of revelation, they never let it take root in their heart. And all of a sudden, this seed, it's all of a sudden trampled on. The birds come and take it. One cool thing about the Bible uses a lot of imagery. Birds represented something in the demonic realm, demonic spirits. And when the devil sees that God is trying to plant something into your life, everything is working against you. Everything in the spiritual realm is trying to attack that and make sure you don't have that. So if they see that it's falling into soil that is not going to be able to absorb this the word of God, the devil is going to have do whatever he's got to do to take that out. What are some life examples? Again, like I said, rebellion to God, knowing the truth, and going against it. I think that's one thing that I struggled with personally. I knew a lot of truth many years ago, but because of my heart of rebellion, I purposely went against what God had. God was sowing so much seed into my life at that time, that season, and so much of it was getting eaten up, and there was no growth in my life. The second type of soil that the seed was thrown on was rocky ground. When the plants came up, they withered in the sun for lack of root and moisture. That's what the word of God says. I want to give you the seed growth example. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen like a seed that falls onto rocky soil. What happens is they begin to drop their roots in, but as soon as the roots hit the rock, they start to push up the plant prematurely. And this is interesting because the plant comes up, it looks good. It looks like it's a healthy plant, it's solid, but because the roots didn't go deep enough, instead the roots hit the rock, pushed itself off, and it came up out of the ground. All sorts of things began to come against it. And when the sun hit it, since its roots weren't deep enough, it dried up. It wasn't able to reach that water in the ground. And this represents double-minded people. These are people that believe what God is saying, but they're fighting a battle in their mind, or they're believing two thoughts. They think I could be committed halfway to Christ and then still do this stuff in the world. And the Bible specifically said in verse 13, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy. When they hear it, they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. And I love this. This is so big. It's stuff comes into your life, whether you like it or not. You have your temptations, you have your struggles. They're always going to be there. They're always going to work against you. But those people who have the roots that are just bouncing off the ground, you may experience a season where you just receive so much from God, and maybe you're running off the emotions of a conference. You know, it could be all sorts of stuff. I know this is something I did too, was, you know, emotional Christian living. There's no deep roots. And a temptation comes, something hard comes in your life, all of a sudden you get pulled right up. You have no roots. And that's the rocky ground, and that's what it represents. It also, some life examples are lack of devotion to God. Emotions are a big thing. A lot of people are emotionally driven when they're seeking God, seeking a relationship with Him. And those kind of mindsets, those kind of areas in our heart that we haven't matured in and haven't cultivated to receive that seed that God is giving, trying to give us, those are the areas that are going to all of a sudden get uprooted. Now, the third type of soil is the thorns. They represent the life's worries and responsibilities that have become a priority. Verse 14 says, "The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature." Some of us, we might hear what God is trying to say. You know, He's planting things in our life, right? But we walk out these doors. You know, we walk out of a conference. We walk out of wherever we receive this word. We could have received it during our devotion, you know, with God one-on-one in our secret room. And we walk out, and all of a sudden, life's pressures come in. All of a sudden, you got school on your back. You know, you got work. You got relationships. You know, you guys each have something individual that will have its life pressures on. All of a sudden, this pressure becomes bigger than that seed that was planted. And that represents that thorn. That thorn comes up as that seed's trying to mature as well, and it chokes that seed out. All of a sudden, the problems of the world become a priority, and they overshadow what God's already promised and what He's already done and said He will do in your life. Now, the fourth soil is the soil that we all want to have in our life. That's the good soil. This is the soil that was fertile and ready to receive. This is the soil that will be able to accept the seed and take it into its ground. The seed will be watered and grow and bring fruit 100 times. Verse 15 said, "But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop." This is what we as believers need to develop, is a heart and a mind that can receive the word of God, take it in, into the ground, away from the birds, into fresh ground that's away from the thorns, that's away from the rocks, and create deep roots in the word of God on who He is through relationship, through devotion with Him. And that's when that redwood begins to grow. It's mighty. It's got roots to run so deep. You know, it's able to get water from the ground. It's able to stay firm. And that's out of that place God begins to do what we're going to talk about next. That's the growth. You have to look at the heart. The heart is your soil. You have to check your soil's condition and ask, can it receive the seed, which is truth? What paths, what stones, what thorns need to be taken out for a seed to be planted in my heart this year? Psalm 119:11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you." And this is so powerful, guys. Guys, this year, God has so much He wants to do in this youth, but He wants to do so much in each one of you individually. You know, but every single one of us in here fall into one of those four categories. We either fall into the path, our heart state does, into the path, the thorns, the rocks, or the good soil. And tonight I want to ask you guys to really check your heart. Where is it? Is it ready to receive what God is going to begin to walk around and sprinkle His word over your life? And is your soil good enough to begin to receive and adapt to that seed, to take it in and begin to grow something? Well, I remember even at work, I used to work and do fencing, so we'd go screw up a bunch of lawns, you know, because you have to go around with it's hard to explain, it's like a bobcat, but you walk behind it and it has a big drill, and you drill holes, you know, and you create a lot of damage. So after, I was always the guy that had to come in with a big bag of seeds, you know, I had to go around, sprinkle this stuff everywhere. And I was just thinking about it today. I was like, that's crazy, because I was exposed to almost all those areas that the Bible was just talking about. There was many areas where I threw seeds on the partial pavement and on the dirt. And obviously the pavement will never grow anything. That represented the path. I'd also throw on areas that were super rocky. I'd come back a week later to pick up a check or do some final touch-ups on the job. And for some reason, there was just like half dead grass growing there, you know? And I was like, man, that's like so relevant. I love how Jesus just used all this relative imagery to speak into our lives. And then I haven't seen much of the thorn stuff, so I'm going to kind of bypass that. But then I've seen it on good soil. There's been a lot of good soil that I was able to throw down on. And you come back a week or two later, and you just see just beautiful grass coming up, you know, and it's growing and it's healthy. And that's exactly what God wants for every single one of our lives. His word is so amazing. If only you guys knew how deep and awesome it is. It's got so much truth. Everything you need to know for your life is in the Bible. And it will guide you through every step. And it is God's way of speaking to you. You begin to take that seed every day. You continue to plant it in your heart. No matter what life throws at you, you know, through its rocks and its thorns, whatever life is trying to choke out of you, God has so much that he's promised and that he's going to continue watering and continue just seeking his presence. That will continue watering that seed. Keep seeking his presence every day and stand on his promise. And that's when things are going to begin to grow. I know God's promised a lot to this church, to this youth. Every single one of you guys are here for a reason. And God has so much in store for you. And this year is going to be a year where we're going to develop good soil, where we're going to be able to receive the word and begin to grow and manifest things of his kingdom here in this church. And we're going to affect the whole city. We're going to affect everyone here in this place. It's going to be amazing. All right, so let's stand for prayer. We're going to close up, and I'm just going to pray, and you guys can repeat after me. We're just going to pray that God develops a hunger to have good soil in our hearts, not only our minds but our hearts. It's just so vital for moving forward, because we can be making the same circles every year, same ideas, not really growing anywhere. Why? Because seeds keep getting thrown onto paths, onto rocky places, onto thorns. But this year, God wants to throw seed on good soil this year. And it's going to happen. I know God's going to do it. He's already been doing it. And we're just so excited for it. So let's begin to pray. Let's begin to seek God's heart. Father, we thank you so much for what you have done here today, God. We thank you, God, for your promise. God, I ask personally, Father, that you just give good soil in my heart, God, that you help me understand how to develop good soil, Father, that when your word comes out, Lord God, it falls on good soil, falls on our good hearts, God, that are able to absorb your seed, God, and be able to grow and give something full of fruit, God, and give 100 times the abundance, Father. We ask you for that, God, this year, that this year doesn't become another year that goes on in vain, Lord God, and there's no growth, and it's just, oh, 2019 happened, God. This year, Father, we want to, as a youth, Lord God, just seek you earnestly, Lord God. Seek your word, Father, and just absorb your word into our lives, God. We thank you so much, Father, for your word tonight. I pray, God, that they continue to bless our service, our time of fellowship. Father, I pray that you continue to do amazing things in this youth. We pray all this in your name. Amen.
Hey guys, you're dismissed. Don't forget to, if you want to donate for Anita, to come up and donate here. I really appreciate that. And so I hope to see you guys next week. We'll be downstairs for some refreshments. And next week's going to be big. We'll check out the Instagram for a post. If we do end up doing this, we might do like a joint service kind of thing. So please keep an eye out for that. And thanks for coming.